as well. I'd like this morning to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 3. Book of Acts, chapter 3. Passage of Scripture that I preach from many times. I'd like to read the first 11 verses, very familiar passage. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. As the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. This passage tells of a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, verse 2, being miraculously healed. What happened here is not allegory. What happened here is not a fable. It is a literal event that actually took place. It is something that really happened. Everything about it was real. Though it is a picture of what the Lord can do to transform lives. And it is a picture of how that Jesus Christ can intervene in a sinner's life, save their soul, and change everything about their life. Now, what we read here took place during the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. The Jews would go to the temple in the third hour of the day, 9 o'clock in the morning. They would go again in the sixth hour of the day, noon. And they would go again in the ninth hour of the day, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So what took place here was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the ninth hour. What we read here took place at the main gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful. Now the temple, of course, had 10 gates, but this gate exceeded in beauty all the other gates, and therefore it was called the Beautiful Gate. So what took place that day about 3 o'clock outside the main gate of the temple was a life-changing event in the life of a certain man lame from his mother's womb. And I want to speak this morning on a personal, life-changing encounter and experience with Christ. If you have not had a personal, not asking you if you know somebody that has, if you have not had a personal, life-changing encounter and experience with Christ, you need that desperately. You need that more than you need anything else in your life. So what we read here of this lame man is just one of many examples of life-changing encounters with Christ found throughout the Word of God. Now, we want to look first of all at this man's condition from birth, which of course is a very accurate picture of the sinner's condition from birth. And his condition was from birth, because we read there that a certain man lame from his mother's womb. This man had not become lame by an accident. This man was born with something so wrong that he would never, ever walk. His lameness did not come from an injury that he sustained sometime in his life. It did not come from an illness that he had in his life. But we read that he was lame from his mother's womb. In other words, he did not become lame through a process of time. He was born with something so terribly wrong that he would never be able to walk on his own. And as sinners, we did not become sinners in the process of time. We were sinners from the womb. We did not become sinners because of a certain event that occurred in our lives. We were born sinners. Now, this man was born with something wrong with his feet and ankles. I believe that is implied in the later statement that his feet and ankles received strength, which tells me that's where the problem was. He had something was wrong with his feet. Something was wrong with his ankles that would never allow him to walk. No doubt, sometime after his birth, it was discovered that he would not be able to walk. But whatever it was that was wrong with this man could not be fixed by man. Whatever it was that was wrong with him could not be fixed by the most educated of the doctors of that day. Whatever was wrong with him could not be fixed with money. His condition was beyond the ability of man. His condition was something that would require a miracle. If this man was ever going to walk, he needed a miracle in his life. Now, we are all born with a nature that could not be fixed by man. You can teach children manners. You can teach them how to behave, and certainly you ought to do all of those things. But you cannot fix what is wrong with them by nature. You can't fix that. That is beyond the ability of man. That is going to require a miracle. That is going to require a miracle of the Lord. And again, just like this lame man, we did not become sinners through a process of time. We were born sinners. Sinners by birth, therefore by birth we were unrighteous before God. At birth, we were guilty before God. At birth, we were ungodly before God. At birth, we were filthy and vile before God. We didn't become that way in the process of time. We were born sinners. We were born guilty sinners. And every little infant, no matter how cute they are, they all have something so terribly wrong with them that nothing can fix it but a miracle from the Lord. And that is, they are born with a sinful nature. We are all born with a heart condition so desperate that it could not be fixed by man. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful. That is, the heart is crooked. The heart is perverted. The heart is polluted. And he says, this heart is deceitful above all things and desperately or incurably wicked. The word wicked there means sore, sick, and wounded. But it's desperate. That is, it's incurable. Man cannot fix the sinner's heart. Oh, we can educate them. We can train them. But you cannot fix what is wrong with their heart. That is going to require a miracle from God. You can send your little ones off to the finest schools, and nothing wrong with that. But you cannot, that will not fix what's wrong with their heart. You can protect them as much as you possibly can, and certainly you ought to, but it will not fix what is wrong with their heart. We are also born with a mind that could never understand. And let me say, you do not reach a certain age where all of a sudden you now are able to understand. My Bible says the mind that you are born with can never understand. I don't care if you're 1 year old or 45. You have a mind that does not understand. Does not understand spiritual things. And therefore does not seek God. We are born with minds that are blinded by Satan. We are born with minds that are in darkness. We are born with enmity. We are born with minds that cannot be subject to the law of God. There are no exceptions. Everybody is born with that kind of mind. And you can't fix it. You can't fix it. Man cannot fix what is wrong with the mind that we are born with. We are born with eyes that could never see the kingdom of God unless God works a miracle. We are born with ears that are deaf to the voice of God unless God works a miracle. I'm telling you, when one is born into this world, they are beyond the ability of man. They need a miracle in their life. They need a miracle. Like this lame man, the condition of the unsaved sinner is real. A certain man lame from his mother's womb. That's real. He was really, truly lame. And when an individual is born into this world, they are sinners. I mean real sinners. Real sinners. Everyone is born a real sinner. No one would debate this man's lameness. No one would debate that something was so wrong that this man would never walk unless a miracle was performed. It was not debatable. And man's sinfulness is not a subject for debate. He's born a sinner. And it's real. It was real, and it was definite. And so it is with every unsaved sinner. Everyone is born lame. That is, they have no standing with God. They have no standing with God. You're born that way. You are born without any standing before God. It's not that he was sometimes lame. He was lame from his mother's womb. It's not that if he tried real hard, he might be able to walk. It didn't matter how hard he tried. At the end of the day, he was still lame. in Acts 4:22, we read that this went on for over 40 years. For over 40 years, this man was lame. No matter how hard he tried, he could not walk. No matter how bad he wanted to, he could not walk. No matter how bad someone else wanted to help him, at the end of the day, he was still a lame man. An unsaved sinner, no matter how hard you try, at the end of the day, unless God works a miracle, you'll still be unsaved. No matter how hard anyone else tries, at the end of the day, you'll still be unsaved. No matter how badly you say, oh, I want to be saved, unless the Lord works a miracle in your life, at the end of the day, you'll still be lost. Because you see, this is a condition that is beyond the ability of man. But no doubt also this man's life was greatly affected by his condition. For over 40 years, he lived as a lame man. As a little boy, he never walked. He never ran. He couldn't play like the other children. You see, his life was affected by his condition. His condition is that he was lame. He never walked as a man. For over 40 years, 40 years had passed, over 40 years had passed. And he's still living in that condition in which he was born. His condition never allowed him to know the joy and the happiness of just simply getting out of bed and walking across the room. Because of this man's condition, he never knew the joy. He never knew the happiness of just walking. Because of the condition of the unsaved sinner, they cannot know the joy that there is in the Lord. Because of their condition, the unsaved sinner does not know the joy that the saved sinner has. The unsaved sinner cannot know unless his condition is changed. This lame man never knew the liberty of walking from place to place. And the condition of the unsaved sinner will not allow him to know the liberty that there is in Christ. Again, in Acts 4, verse 22, this man lived his life for over 40 years as a lame man, never knowing the joy that others knew. And the unsaved sinner live every day of their life never knowing, never experiencing the joy and the liberty that is in the Lord. We read in verse 2 that this man was carried and laid daily, that is, every day, at the gate of the temple. Day after day, someone, no doubt a very well-meaning person, no doubt someone who had a concern for this man, every single day, they transported him down to the temple and laid him in a strategic spot before the gate of the temple. Daily, rain or shine, warm weather, cold weather, did not matter. This man was transported every day to the place to beg with the passerbys. But at the end of the day, he was still a lame man. He was still crippled. Yes, people were concerned about him, but their concern could not fix what was wrong with him. Yes, there were people that cared about him, but their care could not fix what was wrong with him. And there he sat every single day. Every day, he was laid at the gate of the temple, the most beautiful of all the gates. Every day for probably over 40 years, this took place. And he became very familiar with religion. I mean, there he sits daily outside of the temple. He is very, very close to religion. He can observe religion. But no matter how close he got to religion, and no matter how much he observed religion, at the end of the day, somebody had to come and get him and carry him back home because he was still lame. Didn't matter how close he got to religion, he was still lame. Didn't matter how much he observed the religious people walking in and out of the temple, he was still lame. Every day, he lay at the gate of religion. But religion could not do what this man needed. You can sit every single day at the door of Home Baptist Church, that will not save your soul. You can come into the auditorium and you can sit here in these pews every single day for over 40 years, and that will not save your soul. You can determine in your heart and mind, I'm going to get as close as I can to religion. I'm going to get as close as I can to religious people. But I'm telling you, at the end of the day, unless the Lord intervenes, you'll still be lost. Just as this lame man, day after day, for over 40 years. So from where he lay, this man could see the beauty of that gate. He could see the beauty of the temple. But again, at the end of the day, he was still lame. He was still crippled. No doubt, day after day, this lame man watched other people walk. And I'm sure many times he wished that he could walk. I'm sure many times he dreamed and he had hopes and he had aspirations that he could walk. But at the end of the day, he still couldn't walk. All your dreams, all your aspirations and all your hopes outside of an encounter with Jesus Christ will amount to nothing. And so we have this lame man. Day after day, he would sit there, poor and crippled. Everyone who would pass by, he would simply ask for some change. But no matter how much money he collected in a day, and I'm sure that some days he collected more than others, but it didn't matter, because at the end of the day, he was still a lame man. He was still crippled. He would go to bed a lame man. No matter how much money he collected that day, he would still go to bed a lame man. And he would still get up the next day a lame man, and he would live the rest of that day a lame man. And I'm sure that he had some joys in his life. I'm sure that there were some things that brought him some happiness. It did not change his condition. You see, he lived like a lame man. Why did he live like a lame man? Because he was a lame man. The unsaved sinner lives like an unsaved sinner. Why? Because he's an unsaved sinner. Because of his condition. The unsaved sinner lives without Christ. The unsaved sinner lives without peace with God. The unsaved sinner lives without spiritual rest. The unsaved sinner lives in his filth and defilement and in the bondage of sin. And no matter what he does, He'll continue to live that way. Because what he needs is beyond his ability. What he needs is beyond the ability of his loved ones. What he needs is an intervention. What he needs is to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else will work. Nothing else will change. The unsaved sinner's condition. You can bring an unsaved sinner to church every single Sunday, but unless the Lord intervenes in their life, they'll still be an unsaved sinner. They won't be any less unsaved. There aren't degrees of being lost. If you're unsaved, you're unsaved. It's not like you're almost unsaved, you're partly unsaved. You're unsaved. You're lost. And nothing short of a miracle can change that fact. But there came a very special and unforgettable day in this man's life. And that is the day that we read of in our text. But I want you to know it began just like any other day in this lame man's life. He was carried to the temple. I'm sure they put him there sometime before 9 in the morning. What took place was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So there he lay for a minimum of 6 hours. This man had no idea what was going to happen to him that day. He had no idea that this would be the last day that he would ever be lame. He would never again be lame. This particular day, without his knowledge, without his consent, would be the day that his entire life would change. The day is going on just like any other day. The devout Jews begin to come in at 9 in the morning to pray. There's some more that come in at noon. And then there's some more at 3 o'clock, just like it was for every single day. And there he sits outside of the gate called Beautiful. There he sits in his spot, his special place. And there he is pleading with the passerbys. And there are people casting their change at him, others walking by, ignoring him. It was just like any other day. Until something happened that had not happened before. In verse 4, we read, or in verse 3, we see that this lame man saw Peter and John. He saw them about to go into the temple. And he did what he did with all the passerby. He asked alms. He asked, do you have any spare change? Do you have any spare change? And we read in verse 4, and Peter, fastening his eyes on him with John. So both Peter and John stopped. I picture them directly in front of this lame man, and their eyes are fastened upon him. They looked intently into his face. And then Peter said to the lame man, look at us. Perhaps he, at this time, he had his head down. I don't know. But Peter said, look at us. Look at us. And then Peter said words that I'm sure greatly disappointed this man. Silver and gold have I none. Silver and gold have I none. But before that, we notice when Peter said, look at us, verse 5, he gave heed unto them. And here's the reason he looked unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Now, what he received, he wasn't expecting. But what he was expecting was some change. You see, he would have settled for that. And I want you to know, the unsaved sinner will accept Band-Aids his entire life. And that's all that change was. It was a Band-Aid for that day. But at the end of the day, he was still lame. But he was content with that. And so it is with the unsaved sinner. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus. He says, I don't have any silver. I don't have any gold. But I have Jesus Christ. And sir, that's what you need. So I tell you in the name of Jesus. And he told him to do two things that he could not do. He said, rise up. He couldn't do that. And he said, walk. Now he had to rise up before he could walk. But the truth is, he couldn't do either one. But the Lord worked a miracle. The Lord imparted faith to this man. And he began, the man who had been lame from his mother's womb, had been lame now for over 40 years. He believed, I'm able to rise in the name of Christ. I'm able to walk in the name of Christ. And he was actually starting to rise up when Peter reached forth his hand and took him by the hand and lifted him up. And then notice verse 7. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. This man had faith. Not in Peter and John. He had faith in what Peter said, the Lord Jesus Christ. Rise. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he believed. And for the first time in his life, he felt something that he never felt before in his feet. He felt something that he never felt before in his ankles. For over 40 years, he had never felt what he just felt. And we read verse 8, and he leaping up. He didn't push himself up. He didn't gradually get up. He leaped up. He jumped up. And now, for the first time in 40 years, he's standing. And he can feel his feet and his ankles supporting him, giving him strength. And you imagine the joy that filled this man's heart. But there was a second thing that Peter said to do. He said, walk! The man did more than walk. We read that he leaped. And he was walking and leaping and praising God. That is, he would walk a few steps, he would leap a few steps. He would walk a few more steps, he would jump a few steps. This man was happy. This man was filled with joy. His whole life had now been changed. All because of a miracle. And we read here that the whole time he's walking, he's leaping, and he's praising God. He's thanking God. He was not thanking Peter and John. He was praising God. He knew where the miracle came from. He didn't say, oh, Peter, oh, John, thank you so much for coming my way today. No, he walked, he leaped, and he thanked God. He knew who it was that worked a miracle in his life. And when the Lord saves a lost sinner, that sinner knows exactly who it is that saved his soul. And he's leaping, he's walking, and he's praising the Lord. You see, what he was doing is he is walking in newness of life. Everything was different. His entire outlook had been changed. You know what? I think the next day, I don't think someone carried him down to the temple. But I believe the next day he was still walking and leaping and praising God. And for however long he lived after that, that was so. So this man had now what money could not buy. And what he had, he couldn't hold it in. He began to leap and to praise the Lord. And then we read that the people who were accustomed to seeing this lame man laying at the temple gate begging could now visibly see a marked change in this man. Notice verse 9. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which set it for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. You see, there was a manifest change in his life. And I believe with all of my heart, I believe the Bible bears it out, when God saves a soul, there is a manifest change in their life. There is a change that everyone can see. There is a change that you cannot hold in. You don't want to hold it in. And all could see. And they all began to wonder what had happened to this man. And I'm sure throughout his life, people would come up to him and say, "Weren't you the guy that used to sit out there at the temple and beg? Weren't you the guy that never could walk? What in the world happened? Now you're walking. Everything seems to be fine. What happened?" And I believe he'd say, "Let me tell you." And he'd go on and he'd tell how that he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ that saved his, that changed his life. I ask you today, do you know what it is to have a personal, life-changing encounter and experience with Jesus Christ? If so, you ought to live every day as such. You ought to live every day walking, leaping, showing what God has done for you. You ought to live every day praising the one who saved your soul. If you have never had that personal, miraculous experience, nothing else will work. Nothing else will fix your life. You say, "Well, you're taking away all my hope." Exactly. You have no hope outside of Jesus Christ. He is the sinner's only hope. Religion is a false hope of the sinner. Every other refuge that the sinner uses, they're all false. There's only one person who can fix what is wrong with every unsaved sinner. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I can't fix them. We can talk to them. We can tell them about the one who can. We can be concerned. We can pray. We can help them. But unless the Lord intervenes, at the end of every day, they'll still be lost. You need to pray that the Lord would intervene in their lives. That's true of all of our unsaved loved ones. We can talk to them. We can pray for them. We can be concerned. We can try to help them. We can be there for them when they need us. But outside of Jesus Christ, at the end of the day, they'll still be lost. So, oh, how we ought to be praying that the Lord would intervene in their lives and that the Lord would save their souls. Your unsaved loved ones, what they need is not a better paying job. What they need is not better circumstances. What they need is the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we never, ever lose sight of what sinners need. And we have what they need, the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in a verse of song.